Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1, which can be found on page 1021 in your pew Bibles. We will read the whole chapter as well as the first two verses of chapter 2, but we will especially be focusing this evening on verses 5 through 10. Hear now as we read the Word of God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My little children, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Given the time that has passed since we last heard from this passage together, and given that context has much bearing on meaning, let us review what thus far has been said regarding 1 John chapter 1. The first time we listened with a special focus on 1 John verses 1 through 4, and we heard how it is that we have come to have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, who has been poured out upon the church as she is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. We heard how John reminds us of the divinity of Christ, the Son of God, by hearkening back to the beginning, to Genesis, and proclaiming that Jesus, the Word of life, was from the beginning. And we considered how God spoke light and life at the beginning of this world. Indeed, as John says in his gospel account, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. We also heard how the apostles proclaimed Christ, who is the cornerstone of the church. We heard how these apostles were eyewitnesses to Jesus' life and ministry. We heard how the apostle John, in particular, had been with our Lord in every aspect of His ministry. We heard how it is that our fellowship with Christ comes to us in the context of the church by way of the Holy Spirit of God, working through outward and ordinary means, which we have by the witness of the apostles. Thus John says, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Our shorter catechism puts it this way, saying, "The outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of redemption are His ordinances, especially the word, sacraments, and prayer, all of which are made effectual to the elect for salvation. These benefits come through our fellowship with God. We are able to draw near to God because of our fellowship with Christ. We have our fellowship with Christ by way of the Holy Spirit's witness to Christ through the apostles. It was the apostles who were sent out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. For faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." The work of the Holy Spirit through the apostolic witness to Christ is how the joy of the apostles is made complete as they serve their brethren in Christ through their holy office by presenting to them the word of life. The joy of the apostles is made complete as the church is built up in accordance with their testimony of Christ in the Holy Scriptures. Thus we partake in that oil of gladness which has been poured out upon Christ and upon His apostles and upon us as we hear their testimony. And indeed our joy is also made complete in their joy. This joy is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which has been poured out on the church. This hearing of the word, this fellowship that we have with the apostles, it is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And our shorter catechism teaches us that the Spirit applieth to us the redemption purchased by Christ by working faith in us, and thereby uniting us to Christ in our effectual calling. An effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, He doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the gospel. They that are effectually called do in this life partake of justification, adoption, and sanctification, and the several benefits which in this life do either accompany or flow from them. Thus we see how crucial the gathering together of the saints in worship of God truly is to the believer. The Lord has called His people into His body, which is the assembly of His people, and has called them to worship. He has given gifts to His church. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherd teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He has done this out of love for His church. He has done this out of love for you. As you attend diligently to the means of grace, the word preached, the administration of the sacraments and prayer, the Lord has made it known that you are putting on Christ, that you are growing together into one body by the work of the Holy Spirit through these outward and ordinary means. Christ has risen from the dead. He has sent His Spirit to the church, to those who believe in His name. Christ, the second Adam, calls you into fellowship with God. He calls you into the new creation, where the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The second time we heard from this passage in 1 John, we focused our attention on verses 5 through 10, and we heard that our God, who is a consuming fire, burns within the church by His Spirit. We considered how God has revealed to us images of the church set on fire by His Holy Spirit. The church is set on fire, yet not consumed. We considered how the Spirit's witness enlightens the seven golden lampstands of God, which John speaks of in Revelation 1, verse 12 and verse 20. The lampstands together are an image of the church. In a similar way, in Revelation 4, verses 2 through 5, the seven torches of fire before the throne of God are the sevenfold Holy Spirit of God. This light of God's presence is a picture of the holiness of God, and our holy God has drawn near to us in Christ in order that we might draw near to Him. We then returned again to contemplate how God, in the beginning, created light and life. We saw that God created lights to govern the day and the night. He created these governing lights to give light upon the earth, and by their light, to bring order upon the earth. These lights, the lights of this present created world, the sun, the moon, and the stars, are only creaturely replicas of the life that God is, which enlightens the heavenly realm. This heavenly realm, the invisible heavens, has within it the first light, by the Spirit of God, and the light of that place is separated from the darkness. In the light of that heaven, there is no darkness at all. In the light of that place shines eternal day, and the light of that place is good. From the invisible heavens proceeds the government of God that He pictured in replica form when He created the governing lights of our present visible creation. It is the light that governs in the day, and it is the light that governs in the night. It is the light which separates day from night, and this light is good. We considered how Adam and Eve, at the fall into the darkness of sin, are shown as being separated from the light of God when He comes in the spirit of the day to judge according to His word. We saw the darkness of the disobedient heart fleeing from the humility of righteous judgment. That disobedient heart rages against God and against others. The disobedient heart walks in darkness, exalting itself as the source of governing light. The disobedient heart is cast out and given no part in the tree of life. The Lord says in Psalm 95:11, of those who are a people who go astray in their hearts and have not known His ways, they shall not enter My rest. God's judgment against sin is revealed to us as coming not in the dark of night, but in the light of the day. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. God cannot abide sin. God walking in the spirit of the day is the great image to which we are being conformed, so that when we walk in the light, when we walk in the Spirit, we are being conformed to that image of God, walking in the Spirit of the day. It is the image of holiness, for He is the holy God who is of purer eyes than to see evil, and He cannot look at wrong. When you come to this assembly to hear God's word preached in worship of Him, you are entering into the presence of God in glorious light. Judgment begins in the household of God. The light is shining from the lampstand. You have come to heavenly Mount Zion. The word speaks to you, light and life, calling for your separation out of the darkness into the light. If you belong to God, you must examine yourself in the light of God's word to see if you are in the faith. You must be governed by His word, which is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. You who are in Christ are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Through the glorious Spirit of God, who enlightens your eyes through faith, the lamp of the new creation dwells within your hearts. This light of the new creation is shining even now, as we have fellowship with the Father and with His Son by the Spirit's witness to Jesus Christ through the apostles. We are thus called to walk in the governing light of new creation. So let's read again 1 John chapter 1, verses 5, 1, 5 through 2, 2. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Proverbs 4, verses 18 through 19 says, "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." If we say we have fellowship with God, if we say we know God, yet we are unwilling to submit to the judgment of God in his holy word, then we lie. The truth is not in us. We do not know the one over whom we stumble. John will not give an inch here. If we have fellowship with God, then we must obey him. Someone might say, "Are we not all sinners, saved by grace? Is it not the task of the church to speak grace to us?" To this it must be answered that the church indeed speaks grace to those who are under judgment. But one cannot know grace unless they realize that they are under judgment and in need of that grace. It is one thing to be a Christian who fights sin. It is a whole different thing to claim that sin as part of our identity. We have to hate sin, for God hates sin. We're either in Christ and opposed to sin, or we're outside of Christ and identified with sin. It really is that simple. That is not to deny the struggle to put to death the sins of the flesh, but it is to deny finding your identity anywhere other than in Christ, and Christ does not identify with sin. He comes to sinners and says, "If you would identify with me, take up your cross, deny your sinful self, and follow me." We cannot say, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. We can only present the one way to peace, which is Christ, under the wrathful judgment of God for our sakes, the one way to peace through repentance from sin and faith in Christ. That requires calling wickedness wickedness and teaching the truth about God's intense hatred of sin, such that he would not even let a single sinner near him without first requiring bloody death as the penalty for sin. It is often an intense struggle to hate our own sins. I know that there have been times in my life where I have been to the point of lying on the floor, crying before God because I knew my own wicked heart did not want to hate my sin. I know that the only way he let a sinner like me draw near to him is because he provided his only begotten Son as a sacrifice of blood on my behalf. He has called us to holiness, and though we fail all too often to be holy, nevertheless we must know that in order to run this race, we must lay aside every weight of sin and run with endurance. We must know that we are called to live a life of examining ourselves and judging sin in our hearts and repenting of that sin, hating that sin, fighting that sin. Repentance, 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 repentance. The life of the Christian is a life of repentance. The only way to live that kind of life is by faith in the promises of God, knowing that He who promised is faithful and true. Do you believe the Word of God? Will you obey Him? Then remember that God walking in the spirit of the day is the great image to which we are being conformed, so that when we walk in the light, when we walk in the Spirit, we are being conformed to that image of God walking in the Spirit of the day. The day of judgment has come, and it will come. The day of judgment has come in Christ. God poured out His hatred of sin, even upon His only begotten Son. And what did our Savior say to His Father? After having drunk the cup of His wrath to the dregs, after having felt forsaken, after having been crushed for our iniquities, He cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Father, into Your hands I commit My spirit." And having said this, He breathed His last. Our Lord grieved over our sin. Our Lord took the Father's wrath upon Himself. As He breathed His last, He quoted Psalm 31:5. So let us read verses 5 through 10 of Psalm 31. "Into Your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in Your steadfast love, because You have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul, and You have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of iniquity, and my bones waste away." Do you hate iniquity? Do you hate wickedness? Then take up your cross daily if you would have fellowship with Christ. Jesus walked in the light of the day of judgment. Let judgment begin in the household of God. Let judgment begin as you walk in the light of His day. For the Lord shall return to judge the earth. Would you await that day with eagerness? Then confess your sins before Him and turn away from them. When preaching on this passage in 1 John, Reverend Cliff Blair of Redeemer OPC in Charlotte, North Carolina, noted that John's assumption is that we're all sinners. You're a sinner or you're a liar. That is, you're a sinner who says, "I'm a sinner," or you're a sinner who says that I'm not. John's assumption is that we're all sinners, and his assumption is that we're all tempted to minimize that sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Sin distances us from God, and if we do not oppose the sin in our lives, we walk away from the fellowship of God. For some, they have been so deceived that they imagine that they can have their sin and still be in fellowship with God. In reality, you cannot have both. Because of our tendency to blindness towards our own sins, God has put us in His church, under the authority of the Word and the authority of our elders, and we are to submit to one another in the Lord. Though it speaks directly to it, this verse does not only speak of the broad sweep of the doctrine of total depravity. It can be all too easy to affirm that everyone is a sinner, but to turn a blind eye when you are confronted with sin in your life. If someone confronts you with sin, do you simply dismiss it? Do you simply explain it away as though that person has taken a backward interpretation of Scripture? Do you dismiss it as though it were an attack against you? Beware that you not grow careless in this fight against sin. Beware that you not turn against your brothers and sisters. Beware that you not be the one who says, "I have no sin." If a brother or sister in Christ is troubled by your sin and cares enough for you to confront you about it, hear them with humility. Give weight to their words. Search your heart and cry out to God. The Lord suffered to purge His people from their sins. The Lord suffered to purge you from your sins. Do not be conformed to the darkness of the disobedient heart, but be conformed to the light of a heart after God's own heart. David was a man after God's own heart. When he fell into sin and was confronted by the word of the Lord through the prophet Nathan, he reviled his sin. David cried out to God in Psalm 51, saying, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." Do you know your transgressions? Is your sin ever before you? This must be the case for the Christian life, for we have been given new hearts in Christ. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But to confess our sins, we must know our sins. We must search our hearts. When we come before the throne of grace, we come with confidence, knowing that our advocate has laid down His own life for us. When we come before the throne of grace, we come humbly, knowing that apart from the mercy of God, we rightly deserve to have been forsaken in our sins. We know how great a price was paid for our sins. We do not shrink back into the darkness. We must not say we have not sinned, but instead we must confess our sins. We must come into the light wherein He dwells. We cry out to Him for help when darkness seems to encompass us. He will not turn us away, provided we do not make Him out to be a liar. David says in Psalm 32, verses 1 through 6, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayers to you at a time when you may be found. Indeed, God has blessed us in Christ. Though the wages of sin are death, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He has covered our sins with his blood. We are cleansed by that blood. He took our iniquity upon himself and has forgiven our transgressions. Let us not keep silent, but let us confess our transgressions to the Lord while it is still the time of his patience. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. People of God, turn away from your sins and cling to Christ, who is your light and life in this dark and dying world, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for that goodness which you have shown to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we thank you for your mercy in pouring out your wrath upon him. We thank you, O Lord, that you have given us fellowship in your church. Father, we pray that you would make us faithful in this church. We pray, O Lord, that we would submit to our brothers and sisters, that we would submit to the government of this church, if in case we should be found delinquent in doctrine or life. O Father, we pray that we would be quick to repent of our sins before you, that we would be bold to run to you, not to shrink back into the darkness. Father, work within our hearts by your Spirit. We pray, O Lord, that our hearts would meditate upon your word day and night, that we would hide your word in our heart, that we might not sin against you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.